This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
I grew up in Bowser, BC, and lived on 12 acres up, not even in town. Really small town, but we weren't even close to town either.
I grew up in Nanaimo, teenage years, and I worked construction, building roads, working as a chairman. I moved to Campbell River because the road ended and it was a beautiful community, and so I stayed.
Well, I grew up in Winnipeg and went to school in Thunder Bay for forestry, and then I came out here and got a job working for Crown Zeller back in the forest sector.
I hit my teens and then I was really bored of it. I wanted to get out of there. I guess that's where my issues kind of started.
I ended up starting to date the fella that was my boss, and he moved in here 2 years later between his alcoholism, mine sped up, and I was in a real state. And then he committed suicide in my garage.
Wife passing away, dad passing away at the same time. And having a hard time trying to adjust to handle it all by myself, like paying bills and be on top of everything and going shopping and all that. And I wasn't able to do that all by myself.
When I came to Nanaimo with my dad, we went to the hospital and I did a psychiatric evaluation, and they found that something was really wrong. Next time we came down to Nanaimo, he left me in the hospital, which is a little bit scary.
As I make my way, I wonder, can I dispel the doubt? I'm
You're listening to People First Radio, coming to you on CHLY 101.7 FM from Nanaimo, British Columbia. That was audio from the trailer of a new documentary film called On the Road to Find Out. The film examines the relocation of people with mental illness from smaller communities on Vancouver Island to Nanaimo in order to access mental health services. It was commissioned by Columbian Centre and directed by Vancouver Island-based filmmaker Paul Manley. On the Road to Find Out examines questions such as what happens when people are taken out of their natural social setting after they become mentally ill. What are the positive and negative effects of relocation? Where is home once someone has been relocated for an extended period? The documentary shares the stories of people who have experienced relocation and comments from those people who have provided services and support. Nanaimo psychiatrist Dr. Doris Wiggers appears in On the Way to Find Out and shares his observations as a physician. We're joined on the phone now by Dr. Doris Wiggers.
Well, welcome to People First Radio, Dr. Wiggers.
Hello.
What are the challenges experienced by people in remote or rural areas of Vancouver Island who find themselves facing mental health challenges or experiencing mental illness?
That's a great question, and again, I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the show today. The way I've broken it down in my mind, at least, is you've got the qualities of the community where the person lives in a remote or rural area, and then you have the resources that are available from VHA or any other mental health agency. There's no question that on the island there is a concentration of resources in Victoria and Nanaimo and some of the larger cities, and although there are great efforts to get resources extended out to the smaller areas, it's still not complete. So often folks do rely on their local communities for support. The question of urban versus rural has been around since the 1960s and 70s, the idea being that as there's been this shift in the last 100 years from rural settings to urban settings, the question has been risen, are folks better off in an urban setting? And it's actually very mixed right now. So in a nutshell, whereas the urban setting offers access to treatment that may not be available in a rural setting, like I said, these resources, the rural setting actually sometimes has some benefits that urban settings don't have, such as a community or a sense of belonging. And in fact, some of the studies have shown that in rural settings, sometimes there's a higher level of tolerance and a little bit less stigma towards mental illness. But it's important to note that this varies from community to community. Some of the things that I think are particular, and I think most of us could imagine this, is in rural settings, there's often more obvious poverty. Often there's isolation. And it appears that when a person with mental illness is identified as such and there is basically, quote, no place to hide, there's often a lot of shunning or rejection if that community is not tolerant. And with conflict, this often leads to a person wanting to leave or try their luck somewhere else.
How does relocation then, or trying your luck somewhere else or leaving a community, how does that affect people once they're carrying, obviously, their challenges with them into the new setting?
Yeah, I think that question I can relate to, having myself immigrated from the United States to Canada. I think any move which takes you from one culture or environment and puts you in another is stressful for anybody. And I think obviously if you're struggling with chronic illness or a mental illness, it just makes it that much more difficult. So with any move, there's going to be that loss of structure, routine. Certainly there's the loss of social support. And then on a deeper level, I think it's pretty clear that, in particular, we've seen this in research with immigrants, there's an absolute challenge to a person's identity and sense of home and belonging. And so as the relocation occurs, folks struggle, and that seems almost like the first agenda on the order of business is to try and figure out where to live and where they belong and to try and find a social network. And so as people arrive, and often we're seeing this move from rural to urban, as I was saying before, they're arriving in an urban setting and are meeting challenges that they may not be prepared for and are unique to cities. And so that puts them in a clear state of vulnerability. So far in a nutshell, I guess I'm saying the relocation is hard for anybody. It's harder if you have mental illness, and particularly if you're not prepared for the environment you're entering in the city setting. Well, I think unique to cities, which you're not going to find in a rural setting, is the quote-unquote inner city. And as everybody knows, the inner city tends to be the place where poverty and criminal activity is more concentrated. Of course, it could happen anywhere. So, for example, in Nanaimo, we have our downtown, and that certainly has an area of intense poverty and criminal activity. And this is often where people with mental illness will enter into the city if they have no resources themselves to find a single room occupancy setting set up or something like that to find a place to live or even to shelter downtown. And so that puts them in quote-unquote harm's way. You've got children or adolescents that arrive, and they're often picked up by gangs. Women who arrive are particularly vulnerable in an urban setting to domestic violence and, in general, being a victim of violence and sexual assault and things such as that. Now, this may have, of course, been going on in a rural setting. It's certainly not clearly a uniquely urban problem, but when you arrive with no resources and you're looking for a friend or a support, and your judgment may be off because you're stressed out and you have mental illness, you may put yourself into a situation that later you realize is dangerous. And so that's a major problem upon arrival. Obviously, as you arrive, you're basically homeless, so there's that concern that you're already unstable. And so long as the homelessness continues, you become more stressed, and that can cause a worsening of mental illness. And I think, obviously, the one advantage to arriving is access to mental health services, and that's the whole point that Nanaimo is very good at, is that we have our outreach teams, and we do our best to help folks access our services, although often they don't initially because they don't know how to find us, or they're overwhelmed or lost, or if there's a cultural problem or a language problem, it even gets more difficult.
Now, how common is it for individuals, like there's one individual who participates in the film whose father brought him here for an assessment, and on the second visit, his father brought him here to go into the hospital directly. So some people don't necessarily end up in the community in situations of poverty or risk.
Right. Until they leave the hospital. I suppose this is, I didn't hear the set with that person. Potentially that could have been a good outcome, that the person was discharged into a safety net and that our social workers did everything possible to make sure they had housing and income and proper treatment and follow up with the psychiatrist. On the other hand, I've certainly seen many cases where the follow-up doesn't happen, the discharge plan falls through, and then the person can still end up on the streets. So, something like Columbia Center, of course, which provides a lot more structure and support after discharge, is ideal, but that's a really limited resource.
What was it like for you, Dr. Wiggers, to be a participant in the filming for the documentary On the Road to Find Out?
Well, Paul's a really great guy, and he's a really good interviewer. So, I don't know, I just went along with it, and he showed up with his camera crew in my office, and I did the best I could. And he was timely, good at emails, and so it was a pleasure. I'm sort of alluding to, I was honored to be asked to participate. And I haven't seen the film yet, but I heard it turned out quite good, so that's exciting. I think I'll try and make the showing. I think it's next Tuesday at Columbia Center.
I'd like to ask you a wider question about psychiatry itself. Now, the DSM, the Diagnostic Manual that guides the profession's diagnoses, has just been updated amid considerable controversy, from what I read, particularly this round, about how and when individual behaviors should be considered to be mental illnesses. I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on the revision of the DSM?
Well, let me lead with an anecdote, which is I was at the American Psychiatric Association meeting in San Francisco last month, and I think that was the weekend before the release of the DSM-5, and I couldn't easily get into the building because of the number of protesters on the streets of San Francisco. It was shocking to me. I'd seen it on occasion before, but this really has pushed the button in the United States as well as in Canada, and I think internationally, although less so, because the DSM-5 is much more of a North American product. Within psychiatry, I've certainly been anticipating this for the last 3 or 4 years, and I've been excited about it, but I've been watching the controversy, and so psychiatrists argue fiercely with each other about what to do. Even within our department, we're fairly mixed about it. I personally, I've come to the conclusion that the structure of the diagnostic manual is probably leading to obsolescence. I think there's going to be some point where we break out of categorical approaches to psychiatry. In other words, I think the days are numbered that we can put people into boxes with labels such as schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, depression, because the science is really beginning to demonstrate that there are hundreds of varieties of any of those boxes and categories, and that the trend for the future is going to be much more of a scientifically, neurobiologically based system. Now, I have to be clear that there is controversy around this. What happened was about a week before the DSM-5 was released, the National Institute of Mental Health, the director, Thomas Insel, wrote a report to the community basically saying he doesn't support the DSM-5, and he promoted his project at NIMH, which is the Research Domain Criteria Collaboration, which is trying to create diagnostic categories around neurobiological substrates. And that's created just a war in the last month, sort of, you know, in terms of the psychiatric literature, between those psychiatrists that think that we're overly reductionistic by following his path and supporters of him that say that the DSM-5 doesn't work. So this is a both an exciting and a painful time for psychiatry. I think we're going through a crisis. In fact, I know we're going through a crisis, and I think the next 10, 15 years will probably be at a very different place. That being said, I did get a copy of the DSM-5, and I have been trying to use it. And it, within the structure and this idea of diagnostic categories, they've done a really good job and worked very hard and diligently to work out all the kinks and try to do as best they can to match what their research discovered in doing field trials and the like. I could go on and on, but I will acknowledge that there are new diagnostic categories that have caused a lot of backlash. And I would just encourage your listeners to look deeper, because often the purpose of the new diagnostic category is protective. In other words, it's often the story, for example, of a child that's totally unable to function in the school or in the community that doesn't necessarily get a diagnosis, so therefore the family doesn't get resources, it doesn't get treatment, and in that way the child falls through the cracks. So they try to solve the problem by creating a new category of a emotional disruption disorder. Of course, that created a huge controversy, because now the feeling is children with temper tantrums are now labeled as mentally ill. I think that's oversimplifying it. We're trying to help the kids that are truly unable to function and need the help. So I guess in sum, for readers to read the DSM-5, to be very clear that there are the criteria that make the diagnosis, but then every single diagnosis requires evidence of clinical dysfunction, and the dysfunction has to be clinically significant. And that's the caveat that allows us to basically pick up those people that are falling between the cracks.
It'd be nice to speak with you again at length about diagnoses and that type of thing. If we can set it up with you, you'd be very welcome to join us again to talk about that.
Okay.
Dr. Wiggers, we have just a moment left in our conversation. Is there anything else that you'd like to add today?
Yeah, no, thanks for the opportunity. So this weekend, I think the Mental Health Day is going on at Mateo Sutton Park. I believe that's correct. So this is Nanaimo's attempt to continue to raise awareness around mental illness. For me, it's very clear that stigma and attitudes in the community towards mental illness totally block reintegration for my clients. And I've just seen so many folks drift downward, and it's painful to see, and often it's because of interactions with employers or landlords or other community members where the person is treated differently, and that leads to a drop in social status, and that directly leads to shame, inferiority, and loss of self-esteem and depression. So if anything I really want to say to your listeners is continue to remain open, and that tolerance and destigmatization is the solution. It isn't necessarily pills or seeing a psychiatrist. It's communities embracing difference and diversity, and urban settings can do it. Rural settings can do it. It's community-based. It doesn't really matter if it's city or rural. It's how your community deals with it, and Nanaimo can do it.
Dr. Joris Wiggers, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. It was much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Wiggers is a psychiatrist at Nanaimo Regional General Hospital.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.